Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So this morning's message is called, Are You a Trash Can? Are you a trash can? And you know, it's interesting because one thing I've come to realize is that the enemy will do whatever he can to mess up your relationship with God. He will do whatever he can to derail you from walking and serving God with all of your heart. The one thing that God desires more than anything from you is your heart. He wants you to worship him. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to love him because you want to do it. Not because he wants you to do it. He wants you to do it because you want to do it. And he loves it when we go to him and our hearts are open to him and we serve him and we worship and we choose to follow him and we choose to obey him because we just desire to do it because we realize the sacrifice that was paid for us. We realize the great love that it really took to do what he did by sending his son to die for us. The extent that he went to, it was so much. But the enemy will do whatever he can to derail you so that you stop walking with God, so that your relationship and your intimacy gets destroyed or gets hindered or gets blocked in some way. We don't serve God because we believe so we can go to heaven. Okay, thank you for all those amens. I mean, we all want to go to heaven. Amen, obviously, okay? But, I mean, gee whiz, there's so much more to it than that. Like, heaven is, like, there. And I want to see God move now. I want to live and hear and breathe God now. I want to have encounters with him now. I mean, you know, why must the Old Testament saints experience this stuff and we must not? When we have so great a covenant right now, we have access to the holy place. They didn't have access. Only the selected few had it. But you have that ability now. And we decide no. Whereas there were so many. King David's life is probably the greatest example of someone that did whatever he could do to get close to the presence of God. I mean, he would even dance naked to get close to the presence of God. He did whatever he had to because he wanted to be in the presence. He wanted to do what a king was not allowed to do, what only the priests were allowed to do. And you're both a king and a priest. You have that privilege. But we've become so self-absorbed, so self-centered, so self-focused that we lose focus of what we really are doing here on this earth. Yes, we are all working towards the goal to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. But you know, heaven can start right now in your life. That doesn't mean you won't face troubles and you won't face circumstances and trials and all that. You will face that stuff. But there's moments with God. There's moments that are just so incredible. There are moments of worship, moments of intimacy with him that nothing can replace. Nothing can compare to those moments. Nothing touches them. Nothing comes close to those moments that you've had with him, that I've had with him. But the enemy will do whatever he can. And in an early Christian's life, the focus is always the lusts of the flesh. Sin and stuff that we know we shouldn't do. I don't need to tell you what they are. You already know. And the enemy will keep your focus in that area. So he always tries to strategize. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to derail you off your walk with God. And so what he'll do is he'll try and see you're weak in that area and he'll send someone or something or he'll send an image or something that will just lure you into a place where you fall. And when you fall, you feel guilty and you feel bad and it derails your relationship with him. But as you begin to grow in the Lord and you begin to walk with God, you'll become stronger in areas that you were weak in before. That doesn't mean you won't make mistakes on this journey. You probably will, but your journey will, you will find, you will start getting stronger. So what he does, the enemy then, is he looks for another place to try and attack us. And one of the biggest, one of the strongest, one of the most aggressive, but yet probably, if not the most harmful attack of the enemy, is to attack the smallest part of your body. Watch this. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, the good thing about this is that the truth is that you've been given a tongue, you've been given a mouth, you've been given these lips to speak words of life, words that bless, words that encourage, words that exhort, words that build up. You've been given a mouth and lips to do that. You've been given a mouth to speak and to become the mouthpiece of God Himself, where you can speak His word with boldness and authority, and it can have influence and it can change people's lives. There's life in the power of the tongue. But unfortunately, the opposite also applies. That if we speak words that break down, that condemn, that belittle, that slander, that gossip, that negativity, as soon as we start speaking that, what begins to happen is we begin to speak death over people. We begin to speak death over circumstances. And ultimately what begins to take place is that speaking and that coming out of our mouth begins to eventually affect our own souls, in such a way that regardless of how holy and anointed we think we are becoming so defiled because of our mouths. Proverbs 18 verse number 7 says this: a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of the soul. In other words, if you're foolish, your mouth will cause you to be into a place of destruction. It will drive you to destruction. And it speaks of basically when you begin to operate like that and speak all the time, gossip, slander, negativity, all this stuff, what ends up ultimately happening is it becomes a snare for your soul. In the Hebrew, many times the word soul there actually represents you as a person, as an individual. So it speaks of almost like the whole you, 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 you. And I said it once more in the first service, but I won't again. You, you, you. Amen. So your mouth has the potential to be so destructive that it actually traps your whole self, the whole you. And it will affect your ministry, will affect your life, will affect your business, will affect your relationships, will affect your marriage. Because you can't control your mouth. Because we can't control our mouths. Proverbs 12:13 says this: the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. Now watch. So we see the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. So in other words, his mouth gets him into trouble, it traps him. But the righteous will come through trouble. So if you're right with God, and how many of you know that we are right with Him because we have His righteousness? We have a better covenant, amen, than the covenant that they speak of there. But the truth is that if you are speaking evil, if you are speaking negative, if you are gossiping, if you are slandering, what you're speaking will ultimately affect you in such a way that you will not be able to commune with God. You will not have fellowship with Him. Listen, the heavens go silent. You don't want to go there. Because if you know what it's like to walk and hear His voice, the moment the heavens go silent, you know something's gone wrong. Oh, well, you know, we mustn't walk by sight, we must walk by faith. Absolutely. But listen, once you've tasted His glory, you want more. Once you've tasted His presence, you want more. I walk by faith, brother, let me tell you. I know what it's like to feel nothing. Not for a week or two, for months. No anointing, no presence, but I press in. Because I don't walk. But let me tell you, those moments when I do experience His presence, I just want more. I want more. But when I don't, I ask Him, what's going on, God? What's going on in my heart? Because I know that's the first place I need to look. I need to look at my heart. What am I saying? What am I doing? What am I thinking that's causing my heart to get to a place where the heavens have gone silent? Are you guys okay? Is the volume a little bit too loud? Okay. Amen. Thank you, Victor. You're doing a great job. Thank you. Let's give Victor a round of applause. Amen. Proverbs 15:4 says this: a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. In other words, when your tongue speaks life, when your tongue speaks righteousness, when your tongue speaks the word, when you speak no evil, it becomes a tree of life. That tree will bear good fruit, will affect your family, your loved ones, your business, everything. When you begin to speak the word, when you begin to speak truth, when you begin to be influenced and be a good influence, you will give life. But perverseness in it, in your mouth, breaks the spirit. It breaks your spirit. It breaks the spirit of an individual when you're speaking evil, when you're gossiping, when you're slandering, when you're using your tongue to speak or to do the opposite of what God is wanting us to do. You don't understand. And I say this all the time. You and I don't understand. We don't get it. We live in a spiritual realm. We live in a natural realm with our eyes that see in this dimension. But the truth is, there's so much going on around us. God sees that dimension. He sees everything. He sees demons and angels and all the spiritual hosts and everything going on this earth that the natural eye can't see. And so when we speak, things are activated in the spirit, and there's the forces that are sent out to cause all kinds of damage, because there's death and there's life in the power of what you say. Your spirit will get destroyed. Your soul will get destroyed. You will get defiled if you constantly go on speaking evil. It just comes out of you. You don't feel like you like want to do it, but you just catch yourself doing it all the time. I've been there. Amen. Not so amen, but I've been there. Amen. Whatever. James 3 verse 2. Watch this. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits on horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot desires, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. In other words, a little fire will set the whole fire, the whole place ablaze. And a tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Listen, the enemy is the driving force behind negativity, slander, gossip, all that stuff, divisiveness, dissension. There's only one that does that, and that's the accuser of the brethren. If you find yourself accusing and speaking evil, let me tell you something. You may not realize it, but in that moment, you are the mouthpiece of Satan. Well, that's a little bit extreme. Listen, Jesus called Peter the devil when he said something he shouldn't have. He said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me," because he was operating out of the flesh. Be careful what you say, because you don't realize what's going on. Now, where does this come from, all this negative speaking? Are you guys okay? Now watch. Proverbs 4:23 says this: keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far away from you. For your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder on the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established, and do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Listen, out of your heart flows forth all the issues of life. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 33. Don't worry, I won't be later than 2:30. Amen. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit bad, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. The truth is, if your mouth is constantly attacking and spewing evil and being negative and being divisive and being dissension, you will find that the problem is not on top. The problem is inside. The problem is in your heart. You have allowed yourself to get to the place where your heart has become defiled. And out of the issues of your heart, you begin to speak. Because your heart's hurt. Your heart's injured. Your heart's in trouble, bitterness, pain, whatever it is that's causing you to constantly speak and spew all kinds of evil. It is very clear from what we see that the condition of our heart reveals, the condition of our heart reveals who we are and what's going on the inside of us, and it causes us to speak all kinds of evil. We know that things like hatred and bitterness and jealousy and anger will cause us to speak badly. We know that. But let me ask you a question this morning, because we always look at it from that angle. Well, you know, what if you, the person speaking evil? What if you, the person speaking negative? What if you, the person that's slandering? Well, I want to ask you the question, what if you, the person listening? What if you, the person on the other end, that's listening to all the slander, that's listening to all the negativity, that is being the ears of the mouthpiece of Satan? So in other words, you've given ear to the enemy's voice by allowing him to speak all kinds of negativity. Let me tell you something, guys. In my years as a pastor, I have seen the most beautiful, wonderful Christians get taken out, get destroyed, get led into all kinds of garbage because they listen to somebody speaking rubbish. They give their ears to divisiveness. They give their ears to negativity, and they allow that stuff to be spoken into their lives. And inevitably, eventually, what will take place is it will affect them. Amen. Look at this now. If we go to Proverbs 13, verse number 20, watch what it says. Proverbs 13, 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. If you are going to surround yourself with people that speak foolishly, negatively, evil all the time, it is going to affect you. It is going to destroy you. It is going to bring all kinds of things in your life. 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 11 says, 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 11. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, in other words, another believer, who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reveler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Now, I'm not going to get into all that other stuff, but I want to bring the word reveler out. The word reveler in the Greek language means a slanderer. Someone who is abusive with their words. Someone who insults or listen. In the Greek, it means a character assassin. In other words, all they do is speak evil of people, is speak negative about people, is speak slanderous about people. And the Bible says that people like that, that are in the church, you must stay far away from them. Listen, people in the world don't know better. But people in church, this stuff should be away from them. They shouldn't be speaking like that. They shouldn't be acting like that. Amen. Young people, just one thing real quick. The Bible says there that if there's someone that wants to lead you into sexual immorality and they're in the church, get away from them. Don't stay with them. If somebody loves you and respects you, they will wait for you. Amen. They will wait for you. You laugh now, but let me tell you something. The day will come where you will be sorry. I've counseled lots of young people and see their pain and their hurt when they've given themselves and they didn't really want to because of the pressure. Amen. It says, when you're with someone like that and they're pushing you to give yourself away, get away from them. Don't even eat with them. Amen. Okay. If you were like that, don't worry. We'll pray for you. You'll be fine. Amen. We still love you here at Oceans. Amen. Doesn't matter how bad you are. Okay. So we see the word. Okay. I never did that in the first service. Amen. It's for someone online. It's nobody here. Amen. The word reveler, as I say, means slander, abusive. Now, watch this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. In other words, listen to me. If you are in the company of people that are speaking evil, that are doing evil, it is eventually going to affect you. Listen, we can go into the reason why that's in the text, and I can explain to you about doctrine and all kinds of things, but we don't need to do that. The fact of the matter is, it's pretty simple. If someone is always negative, don't hang around them. If someone is always speaking evil, don't hang around them. Because let me tell you what will happen. If someone constantly is going around trying to build their case to make themselves feel better about what they're saying, because that's what they do. They come to you and they go, you know, this about this person, and this is what they said, and what do you think? Do you agree? Do you agree? And they're waiting for you, and you don't agree. But because of the pressure of the moment, you go, yeah, I agree. And that's all they need to hear. But if you constantly, when someone comes up to you and you say, listen, if you have a problem with Pastor Mike, go to Pastor Mike and speak to him. I don't really want to hear about it. I love you, but I don't want to hear about it. And then they go off to somebody else. They go, you know, and then you go, listen, I don't really want, guess what's going to happen? They're going to stop. Because they have no ears to fall on. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren, and he desires to build his case, to make a strong case, to speak against someone so that he can cause dissension and divisiveness and destruction in your life, your family. You've seen it in your family. You've seen it in your business place. You've seen it take place. It happens everywhere. It happens in church. How people go around, busybodies. That's what I call them. Amen. I'm almost done. I'll be another 45 minutes. Now, I actually have a lot more to get through, but I'm running out of time. So let me do this. Let me show you this morning two examples when someone begins to be affected, when someone gets it right, to cause negativity, slandering, evil speaking, when they get it right, to affect the people around them, how great an effect it can actually have. How many of you know that the Apostle John was the Apostle of Love? The Apostle John was one of the 12 that walked with Jesus. Do you think it would be easy for someone to persuade those people that were in the church that the Apostle John is corrupt and wrong and messed up? That would be pretty hard, right? But watch how someone gets it right. Let's go to 3 John verse number 9. 3 John verse number 9. It's amazing how the two services are always so different. I write to the church. He's writing to the church. But to Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence. In other words, what it's saying there, the word preeminence means he wants to be first. He wants to be the main Mackie. among them does not receive us. In other words, he does not receive us. He doesn't want us to come. Therefore, if I come, I will come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating, which basically means to talk nonsense, or means to gossip. So what John is saying is that this guy, I'm going to bring to remembrance his deeds, and what he does is he talks nonsense, he gossips. What you need to understand, guys, is in the Bible, when a name is mentioned, you must pay attention. Because when the Bible mentions someone's names, they want you to remember somebody. Oftentimes in the Bible, it'll say that person or that person. But how many of you know the name Ananias? You don't hear too much about Ananias, but we all know what Ananias did. Well, this character, whatever his name is, you need to. There's a reason why his name is mentioned, because God is trying to get your attention, to pay attention to what he did, because it's dangerous. Can you say amen? So he is prating or speaking nonsense or gossiping against us with malicious words. Malicious words are evil words or wicked words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. So in other words, if he doesn't agree with what he's saying against John, he puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Now that's an example of John. Now watch, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And again, we see the name of the individual mentioned. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. This is Paul speaking. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Now, there's lots of love in that. You also must beware of him. That's how serious evil speaking, dissension, decisiveness, gossip, and slander is in the church. And if it's like that in the church, it's like that in your house. It's like that in your business. It's like that in your life. That type of effect, those type of words, those type of influence have the potential to be extremely destructive. Can you say amen? You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, watch this, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Are you kidding me? Paul, the apostle, the one who more than likely started that work, now gets to, this guy, Alexander the coppersmith, had the ability with his mouth, with his malice, with his evil words, to turn everybody against Paul. We don't stand a chance. So what happens? What is it that causes people to be able to turn so quickly from the truth? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions. Nick, come again. Next time, Mike. So let's say this is you. This is your life. And every time somebody comes and speaks evil or negatively or speaks toxic words, they go into you. Negative words, they go into you. False words, they go into you. Malice or malicious words, it begins to fill you up. Dissension, negative, gossip, slander, and you listening, you giving ear to all this stuff. Eventually what happens is you get full and full and more full with all this junk that's getting spoken to you, to the point where eventually it affects your life so much that it overflows and affects you in your soul and affects every part of you, that it will convince you of what is actually wrong because it consumes you. Can you say amen? Do you see what happens to you, to your soul, to your body, when evil words, when slander and gossip and malice get spoken around you and you just sit there and receive it? I have seen this happen to so many good Christians, so many wonderful believers who allow people to speak rubbish into their lives and they become like a trash can. Can you say amen? Church, don't allow people to speak junk into your life. Don't surround yourself with people who will always speak wickedly. Proverbs 12:26 says this: the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Romans 16:17 says this: now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses. In other words, what it's saying there, those who are divisive, those who cause dissension, those who cause division, mark them. Mark them. Don't get angry with me. That's what the Bible says. Note those who cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned. And look what it says, and avoid them. In other words, when you see them coming, go the other way. They're going to get the picture. If they're always negative, if they change, embrace them. If they stop speaking evil, love them. But don't listen. Don't be an ear to that garbage. Amen. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. The fact of the matter is yes, it's one thing to be someone who's full of all this stuff and your heart has become cold and hard and all you do is speak evil all the time. But it's another thing to be the person that is on the receiving end of listening to somebody's garbage, the nonsense that they speak, the junk that they speak that ends up filling you up, consuming you. And listen to me, eventually it will affect your heart. It will affect your heart. And this morning I want to plead with you as your pastor, because this is something we all have to guard against. Firstly, being that person that speaks negatively, evil, all that stuff. And secondly, we also need to guard our hearts against being that person that always speaks all kinds of evil and negativity. Because God doesn't want that from us. Listen, He wants your heart to be after His heart. He wants your heart to be soft. He wants your heart to be open to Him. And when we allow that stuff in our lives, eventually you get so full of it that there's nothing that can happen except that your heart will begin to harden. And as your heart begins to harden, you become more and more desensitized to slander and negativity and evil speaking and dissension. Eventually, it doesn't even affect you anymore, and you don't understand why. But for some reason, you have no connection to God anymore. You don't know what it is. Well, I can tell you now, the chances are there's a strong possibility that your heart has become hard because of all of what you've allowed to be spoken into your life, or what you have spoken that has caused that hardness to come. But the good news is there is a beautiful scripture that I want to share with you. A scripture that was like almost like a prophecy of what will take place in our hearts, what God has the ability to do. And this morning, church, as your pastor, my greatest desire is for you to walk with God, to love Him, to serve Him, to follow Him, to have intimacy with Him, to know how awesome and wonderful He is. But I know that if your heart isn't right with Him, you will not be able to do that. So this morning, I want to challenge you with this scripture. Ezekiel 36, verse number 26, it says this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. It doesn't matter this morning what's happened, what you've heard, what you've said. This morning I want to challenge you to say to God, Lord, I don't want that stuff anymore. I don't want to be a mouthpiece and I don't want to be an earpiece to the enemy. I want you to take my heart, Lord, and all the stuff that I've allowed to come into my heart. I want you to take it out of my heart this morning. Can I ask you all to stand for just a moment? Let's pray. Father, this morning in this place, we are so thankful to you and we're so thankful for your presence and your spirit that is here. Lord, it's our desire to serve you with everything that is inside of us. Lord, we want nothing to stand between you and us. And Father, it is so clear what a powerful weapon the tongue is on both the positive side, on your side, and also on the side of the enemy. Father, I pray this morning that everything we say will be seasoned with salt. Father, that it will be like a lamp that will come out of us. A light will shine out of our mouths when we speak your word, Father. Lord, change our hearts. Give us a heart of flesh this morning. Forgive us, Father, for speaking evil, for hearing evil, for allowing it in our lives, Father. Do not let it consume us. But this morning, Father, as Ezekiel said, Father, give us a heart of flesh this morning. Take that heart of stone out of our flesh and put inside of us a heart of flesh, a soft heart, Father, that seeks after your heart, Lord, a heart that drips with the very presence and softness and the love of God. Lord, change our lives, change our hearts, change us, God, that we would serve you with everything inside of us. And Father, Lord, we forgive everyone that has spoken evil of us this morning. We let them go, Father, as we also ask that you would forgive us, Father, for anything we've said, anything we've done, Father, that would have grieved you, that would have hardened our hearts, Lord. Cause your, Lord, your heart to come into our hearts this morning, Father. Wash us in the blood of the Lamb this morning, that we would stand before you free, Father. Lord, and you heart, and a new spirit burning in our hearts, Father, with the very fire of your spirit, Lord. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to do your will. We want to be disciples of the King of glory, of the Most High God. And Father, I pray right now that you will just fill this place with your presence. Just fill this place with your spirit. I take authority right now over every spirit of gossip and slander, over every negative spirit, over every spirit of divisiveness and dissension. I take authority over you now and I bind you now. I break your power right now in the name of Jesus, and I command you to go out of this place right now, out of our families, out of our businesses, out of our children, out of our lives, Father, every area of our lives, out of our church, out of our city, out of our nation, Father. Lord, we come against that divisive dissension spirit in our nation right now. And Father, we pray that you will cause the unthinkable to take place in this land, that you will cause the church to rise up in this nation and begin to seek your face, God. Father, we pray for this land right now in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in our church. Have your way in our city. And have your way in our nation. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Not my life, but your life, Lord. We give our lives to you. Every fiber of our beings, we give it to you, Father. What is this life? What is this life without you? Lead us, Lord. Guide us, Holy Spirit. Teach us, Holy Spirit. And Father, we love you so much. Even now, there are so many people in this place that are surrendered to you, Father. And I pray that you would just touch them, touch their hearts. Touch them right now where they are. And Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. And we love you so much. Lord, let us not leave you the same. Let the yoke be broken and lifted. Let the burden be light. Let us walk out of this place in the freedom of your Holy Spirit, in the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus the Christ. now I pray, Father, for every person as they leave here this morning, that you will be with them, that you will bless them, that you will give them peace. I pray, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with each and every one of these as they leave here today. We thank you, we praise you, and we worship you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.